Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Knee-deep in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. Yesterday's episode, chapter 19, 18 and 19, Jeremiah was sent by God. Once again, always sending him somewhere to tell somebody something. Sent him to tell, once again, his disobedient children, the Israelites, that they have crossed the line totally. He's tired of them. They have not only worshiping gods of their forefathers, but new and improved inventions of gods that even their forefathers didn't know about. And last chapter, the priests were kind of making, they were going to make some plans to get rid of Jeremiah. next time he comes in town preaching that word of that God that we don't know about anymore. Bad things happen when he comes around. We don't want him here anymore. We got to do away with him. Well, chapter 20 kind of brings us here to this point. So Jeremiah's telling them, he's telling them, get yourselves turned around. You got to stop this. God says if you can just stop it and turn around, he'll repent of the evil that he wants to do to you. Mm-hmm. It's like back when Moses, please God, don't kill them. They're yours. They belong to you. You brought them out of Egypt.
They're not mine.
What will they say on the 5 o'clock news? You bring them out of Egypt and then wipe them out. And God says, yeah, you're right. I repent of the evil, Moses. I'm not going to do it. But God told Jeremiah a few chapters back, don't even try to talk me out of it this time. They either turn around or else. And then two chapters back, God says, go and tell them, all right, I know you can't keep the law. I know you can't follow me with all your heart. So next Saturday, just the city of Jerusalem, not the whole land, if you cannot carry anything laborious through the gate, in or out, on the Sabbath, then I'll bless you again and we'll have a revival. Well, they couldn't even do that. So he's gone and told them that things are coming that will be worse for them than has ever been seen in the history of them. And now here we are at 20, and like I said, the priests were making plans to kill the messenger. That's where the term don't kill the messenger comes from, this Bible. So many things in today's normal vocabulary come out of this Bible. Don't kill the messenger. Jeremiah says, I'm only here to tell you what God says. Oh, you can't very well kill God. Our forefather Nimrod tried that. It didn't work out for him too well, so we're just going to kill the messenger. Now, Pashur, the son of Emer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord. Wow, he's high up on that religious totem pole, although God is not at the top of that religious totem pole. Mm-hmm. They just worship money and greed and power. Heard that Jeremiah prophesied these bad things. So the head religious dude heard that Jeremiah was spouting God's word again. Oh, we can't have that, Jonathan.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Megormisabib. Megormisabib. So he just renamed him on the spot. Said, God says your name now is Megormisabib. But thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself, to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. Thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah unto the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof. And all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Peshur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So not only was he chief in the religious society of the day, this Peshur called himself a prophet. And we talk about this all the time. I see those little roadside signs. Prophet Elijah Bennett. You know, for $10 you can get your palm read on your fortune told. So God is going to... This man laid hands on the prophet of God. Very, very, very big no-no. David say when he had the chance to kill King Saul, I dare not touch the anointed one of God. So, not only is the nation of Israel going to be carried away into Babylon, put into bondage, a lot of them killed, all of their wealth confiscated, but this guy is going to stay alive to see it all and then see all of his friends and family and witness his own death right to the last second. Verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And there's Jeremiah, feeling a little overwhelmed, crying out. He's kind of feeling lonely. There is the only one in an entire nation that's following after God. Have you ever felt that, Christian? You ever been in a workplace where you like the only one there, the minority that worshiped God, kind of kept to yourself because all the heathens running around you? Well, Jeremiah is feeling the heat here. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. All the day, this is all I can think about God. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's interesting, verse 9. He says, he's confessing to God, you know, this stuff is disturbing to me. These are my people, and I know they're disobedient. You put this word in me, and I've been preaching it to them daily about their destruction is coming. But it was too much for a while, and I stopped. I held it in. I wouldn't say it anymore. And that's probably why he got put in the stocks. As long as you're absolutely obedient to God, several of the other prophets, he said, go and tell this, and I'll put armor on you. Nothing can happen to you. No one will be able to touch you. The sword will bounce off of you. But Jeremiah is, relenting here that he actually stopped, and he said, the word of God burned inside me because I stopped spouting it. I stopped preaching it. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my families watch for my halting, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. We shall take our revenge on him. They were trying to get me to repent of the things that I've been telling them coming directly from you. And how many Christians have you been preaching the word of God, and for some reason something comes against you and you shut up and you stop. You get worried. Someone threatens you. Things go bad in your life. That's when you have to retarget your heart. It's when you have to go even the next step and step it up and begin to preach more. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall not be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. He's asking to actually see it now. I don't know how good or how, you know, good for Jeremiah's spirit that would be. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But remember, this is the prophet of God. He's also a human being, full of flaws, just like all of us. He's asking, after all they have put him through now, yeah, Lord, do it. You know, and this reminds me when Jonah went to Nineveh. You know, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He fought against it. He ran the other direction. And we all know the story. Got on a boat. They threw him overboard with a big tempest in the sea. The fish swallowed him and he vomits him out on the bank. Okay, Lord, I'm finally here. I mean, it was a struggle. Yes, you won. I'm here. All right, I'm going to go into the city of Nineveh. I'm going to tell them their destruction is coming unless they repent. But this is a bad city. They're probably not going to repent. But I'm going to go in there and preach it because you made me come here. So he goes in there and preaches it. And his preaching is outstanding. And they repent like no one has ever repented before in life. Right, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were following after Dagon, the fish god. So yeah. Whenever Jonah came from the fish, it kind of probably threw them all for a loop.
Yeah. I mean, they not only put sackcloth on themselves.
Yeah.
They put on the camels and the goats.
The dogs, the cats.
Everything that had breath in it, they put sackcloth on. And they repented. And God says, oh, the entire city has repented. I'm not going to wipe them out. And Jonah got mad.
Mm-hmm.
What? After what I came in and told him, you're going to wipe them out. I mean, all that we went through, the fish. Can you remember the smell in the belly of the fish, Lord? No, you don't, because you weren't there. I was there. I went through a lot to come here. And now you're not going to wipe them out. And he gets mad. And he starts moping, sitting on the side of the road. Well, here, I'm seeing Jeremiah. He's saying, before it was... You know, it hurts my heart that you're going to wipe them out. These are my people.
Yeah, what you're saying to them is spooky to me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's disturbing me. It's disturbing me. But after spending a few nights in the stocks in the prison...
Just do it.
Do it, Lord. But I want to make sure when you do it, I'm there. I want to see it. I want to watch. We see the frailty of the human being in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Christ. In the human body. In the garden. If there's any way, Father, that this can be taken from me, if not, your will be done. You know, fear and frailty. That's what this body, that's what this flesh has. The spirit man is strong if he is in control. You let this flesh get control, the spirit man becomes very weak, very susceptible to going into a coma and letting the flesh rule your life. And you are one. You're joined. He said, took the dust of the earth and breathed his spirit into Adam and created a living soul. Half and half. But the spirit was meant to rule the carnal mind, not vice versa. The mind of the human being is contrary to the will of God. God said, I place the spirit in the heart. Gain control of this carnal mind and guide this abominable flesh. And follow me with all your heart like he told Abraham with the everlasting first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So all of that rabbit hole there just to show the frailty of the human being Jeremiah, not the prophet Jeremiah. Yes, Lord, now I'm ready to see this happen. Verse 13, sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be the blessed. he's reminding you of now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's read the book of Job.
Yeah.
He knows it's coming. He's ready to see it. Wants a little vengeance on these bad dudes, but he knows it's going to hurt. Oh, Lord, cursed the day I was born. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Wow. He's doing the same thing Jonah did, sitting down, I mean, this is the word of God. Should be happy. The word of God has been delivered. But it's got to be hard. These are his people. And he's showing the, like we said earlier, he's showing the frailty of the human being. The spirit had time to step back, and the emotions of the flesh have taken over here in Jeremiah. Let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry of the morning and the shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb. Wow. He's relenting that he wasn't killed when he came out of his mother, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. And we see that oftentimes with these prophets. Look at Elijah. One day, he's 10 feet tall, bulletproof, wearing the armor of God, wipes out the 400 priests of Baal. Next day is, oh Lord, Jezebel's going to find me and kill me. Run away. It's and I think it has to, it, a lot of it has to do with tiredness of the body. A lot of it has to do with the health of the body. I mean, this guy's out here preaching. We don't know. Doesn't say anything about, did he eat? Did he eat when he was in the prison? You know, he was probably starved when he was in shock shacks or the stocks in there. And we see that with Elijah too, all day long. He's just wiping out. I can't imagine how tired I would be if I had to slay 400 priests of Baal with a sword. I remember bayonet training in the army. Pretty tiresome. But we only dabbed 3 or 4 dummies. It wasn't 400 in a row. Right. I would have been wiped out after 400. So physical exhaustion plays a role in your everyday spiritual life, Christian. The body needs to be kept fit, not overweight. You need to keep it in reasonable health, because the spirit man lives there. If it's in pain all the time, that's a drain on the spirit man. If it's overweight, the calories are putting the spirit man to sleep. Yes, I said it. You just going to that fried chicken buffet after church, you're sucking in the word of God, hopefully at the church you're going to, and then you're going to the chicken buffet, and it's being stored in the circular file out back somewhere, because the spirit man just he cannot dwell on it once those calories start going in. You know, everything in moderation, Paul says. You want to put your spirit to sleep, start with overeating and see where that leads you. That will lead you to overindulgence in most anything that's not good for the spirit. My flesh doesn't care whether it's good for it. It's going to die. It knows it. It wants to consume as much pleasure as possible before that day.
It's on autopilot till you bring it into check.
Yes, you got to bring it into check.
Yep.
Yeah, so here, Jeremiah delivered the word of God, and like so many of the other prophets, he's now feeling woe, doom, and gloom. Woe is me, wish I wasn't born, wish I had died inside my mother. Even the man that came and told my dad I was born, but woe to him, because he did that. So, you're in good company, Christian, when you say, woe is me. It's happened to the best of us. Chapter 21, book of Jeremiah. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord when King Hezekiah went into him, sent unto him Pashur the son of Michaiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. Oh, so they're coming to him now. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. Ah. What did we just say in the last chapter? Jeremiah had just come and told them they're all going to be carried away into Babylon. And they said, shut up. We don't want to hear. Be quiet. Lock him up in jail.
Mm-hmm. If we don't hear it, it won't happen.
Yeah, and if we lock him up in jail, maybe he'll change what he says.
Yeah.
As if Jeremiah had changed what he said, it would have changed anything. It wouldn't have.
Well, they put God in a headlock.
Yeah.
You can change your mind now.
I tried that. We've told this story. My father was in a coma. He's going to put God in a headlock by fasting and praying 8-10 hours a day. You cannot do that. Jeremiah is the mouthpiece of God. You know, could have taken him and started flaying the flesh off of him. Maybe he would have said, okay, not going to happen. It would have still happened. You know, I think God would not have allowed that. And if he had allowed that, he would have allowed Jeremiah to continue preaching exactly what was going to happen right till the last moment of his death. But here now, they couldn't get Jeremiah to change his speech. You're going to be carried away into Babylon. So now they're going to come and, okay, it's happening. Babylonian army is coming. So what do we do now? If so, be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Oh, yes, we are his people, you remember? Well, we used to be, but we can be again. Maybe God will help us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of the city. Not only will I not help you, saith God, because you are so disobedient and you refused to listen to the words of my prophet for the last several years. I told you this was coming. Not only will I not help you, I will fight against you.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.